Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jordan McDonald, Glenn Mack now on a Saturday. Mike Sielski, who normally does Saturday, is traveling to Indianapolis for tomorrow's game. Take a few calls, and we will discuss some fight and Phil's off season. Dave starts us out. Dave, you have some recollections of Jeff Garcia's moments?
Yeah, I do. I'm working on a deal. I'm an investment advisor with Jeff Garcia.
Really?
The old Eagle quarterback. And Lucy Lee, which will make sense to both you and to Jody because I'm a golfer. I'm kind of his golf guy that calls in. And Garcia is a really interesting guy. And I think he could get under center and take a snap. He's his roommate is the guy from high school that got us involved. He had gone to Stanford for an
MBA. Wait, did you say you think he could still get under center and take a snap?
I do think he could.
Hold on. Now we're getting out of hand. All right. We got Linville Joseph. Dominican Sue. Well, now we got Sproles talking about it. Now you're talking Jeff Garcia, who's got to be 52?
My point was he just has so much energy.
I know.
Kind of like Tommy McDonald. Have you ever been in a room with Tommy McDonald when he was still alive?
I have been in a room. I watched a play sitting next to Tommy McDonald, which was quite an experience. And I have also spent time. We used to have Jeff Garcia on the show back in the day. Dave. Who is the guy that you would say?
Okay, you want me to pick my guy, and then I want to thank you all for something.
Okay, pick your guy and then thank us all.
Michael Bennett.
Oh.
The defensive lineman.
Yeah, I remember. Small shoulder pads and all.
Yeah, small shoulder pads, kind of weird. Didn't even look like he had shoulder pads on.
Yeah, okay. And what did you want to thank us for?
I like the
Bennett signing. I want to thank Jody and you, because I don't know what you did, but at my wife's memorial, there was a presentation of flowers from the WIP fans of golf for my wife, Annie, that had to cost somebody a fortune. When we looked at it, my daughter and I, Tia, we were stunned. But came WIP golf listeners, and I don't know if you do anything to do with it, but if you did or you didn't, thank whomever did.
I did not have anything to do with it, and my sympathies to you and your family, and I will certainly pass that along and wish you the best with that. You remember Michael Bennett came from Seattle, right?
Yeah. I thought it was a really good signing by the Eagles that offseason. And it was an up-and-down tenure that he had here, and he was a bit of a wild child, got himself in trouble in a couple places, but still had something left in the tank when he was here.
Yeah.
I remember Michael Bennett. That was a good, solid signing by the Eagles.
Yeah, the first couple have been mentioned are kind of good, solid guys. There's some really, really good ones. I'm actually... for whatever reason, that made me think of a guy who was with the Sixers briefly in the last few years who maybe should have stayed, which is about as big of a clue, I guess, as I should have given on that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Bob in Williamstown. Hello, Bob.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
The first thing I'm going to talk about before I actually need Jody for my guy, I'm glad you got back here. The Eagles talk last week, as far as Monday, I'm not talking about you, Jody, which you're sure, I didn't even know you said this, but people were really serious that the Eagles were getting too big for their britches, we need a loss, we need to get them back on track, which I never thought a loss was good for anybody, but then on Tuesday when they lost, the same people thought the world was going to end. Monday, you thought that they were too big. Let's get a loss. And
I can't address anything I didn't say, and
no,
I don't think Jody said it either.
Yeah,
but yeah, there was some of that in this town.
It's just kind of ridiculous. If that's a blueprint, I'll take it, because the only reason that 3.1 or 3.2 yards a carry was okay was they had no penalties. So they were never at first and 20 to where they had to throw the ball. We hardly tackled them for losses at all, so they were behind the stick. So third and one, always got the fourth down, and they were great on third down conversions. I would love to play everybody to want to do that to us, because we won't lose.
Except they did.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, I know. That's what I said. That was the perfect storm.
Well, the perfect storm could happen again. I don't think it's that outrageous to think that what the Commanders did on Monday night is off the chart, can't be duplicated. Sure it can. It could be duplicated on Sunday by the Colts.
No, I think you misunderstood me. I said it can be duplicated, but I would like when people do that. I want to see them run at 3.2 yards a carry and have their quarterback not be able to complete 50% of his passes. I'll do that.
But another reason that it worked was that the Eagles' defensive line was unable to stop them for losses. So you mentioned the penalties first and 20. Which
right, that's right.
I hear that.
They didn't tackle them for losses.
Tackle them for losses. Right. So it was always second and six, second and seven, third and two. So when they did that, they made it.
Right. And yeah. This new football.
That's right.
Fourth down used to be a punting situation. Now anything under fourth and two, everybody's going for it, which makes 3 yards a better thing here. So
that's
my
true.
Guy is, the reason I needed Jody, a New Yorker, I got to say that I despise the Yankees, I despise the Mets a whole bit. But in 1980, this guy, I think, we don't win a championship without this guy, because I don't think we make it to the playoffs, Sparky Lyle.
Oh, I remember Sparky.
The reason I say that is Tug McGraw's arm was done. I mean, he was out. He was shot. So after the old August 1st trading deadline, the Phillies picked up Sparky Lyle, and he wasn't even eligible for the playoffs. But in September, he saved 4 games. They shut Tug down for a little bit, which gave him just enough to cross the finish line, come the Kansas City game in the World Series. But to me, I always thought that Sparky Lyle was the guy, even though he wasn't Schmidt, he wasn't Bowie, he wasn't Matthews, he wasn't those guys.
It's a good name, and thanks for the call, Bob. My computer has frozen, Kyle, so if you can help me out with this board, we will do that. Good names. Haven't heard a great one yet, but good names. Jody, let's talk a little baseball, shall we?
Yes.
While I get my computer back on board here. First of all, just in a small note, 2 Phillies players got MVP votes yesterday. JT Realmuto finished 7th on the ballot, which certainly I thought deserved. I thought he had a great season. And Kyle Schwarber got a vote or two to finish down on the ballot. Earlier this week, Dave Dombrowski holds a news conference. I'll get to the positive stuff in a moment. First, on Rhys Hoskins, it certainly gave, I thought, every indication that Hoskins is going nowhere, and said that, quote, he won't work on his defense this winter. He actually improved metrically compared to where he was in the past.
Oof.
It's a long way to improve. He's not a Gold Glove first baseman. I'm sure he'll work hard in spring training. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It all depends on what you read between the lines. That, to me, said we're probably going to try and get somebody else playing first base at least part-time next year, that he's not a Gold Glove guy, which means if Bryce Harper is going to miss some portion of the season, and we'll find that out hopefully this week, because he's going to have the surgery, and we're going to find out if it is a major surgery or is it a partial surgery, and how much time will Bryce be out of the lineup. When he comes back, he's going to be a DH again. I can tell you that. He's not coming back and immediately going into the outfield. But for the period of time that he's out and not DHing, well, Rhys Hoskins would make a real nice DH and get someone over at first base who can actually catch the ball. That's what I read mostly into what Dombrowski said about Hoskins.
Okay. To me, the problem with that is you have more than a few guys who probably are best suited at DH, another one being Nick Castellanos, and he talked a little bit about Castellanos, and he said, he basically was discussing why is it that Castellanos had such a down year here after being such a good performer before he came, and this is what Dave Dombrowski had to say.
One of his biggest problems, I mean, he has always been in a situation where he's not a real disciplined strike zone hitter. This year he was even worse in that regard. I'm not sure how much of it also was with dealing with all the adjustments that just come with signing with a new club, all the adjustment, new baby coming into the life in May, all of that. So there's no reason why he still should not hit with authority. He still drives the ball all over the place. He still has tremendous power. He's a hitter.
Your thoughts?
He likes the player. I don't know that I've ever told you this story. I think I told it here on WIP. My father was in Lakeland, Florida, the day that Castellanos was the Tigers' first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's there watching a Lakeland Tiger game, and he runs into Dombrowski, who he knows is the Tigers' general manager at the time. They're running their draft out of their minor league offices, which their spring training offices, which nobody ever does. My father didn't even question. He just was shocked to see Dombrowski on the day of the draft there. And he said Dombrowski couldn't have been more excited. He said, we got a steal. This guy, I can't believe this kid dropped to us, blah, 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 blah. So he knows how long Dave Dombrowski has loved Castellanos. He was ecstatic the night he first got his hands on him as a member of the Tigers draft coming out of Lakeland. As a matter of fact, he loves the guy. He's making excuses for the guy. He's trying to find reasons why the guy didn't have the season that they thought they were paying for when they signed him this offseason. And he still hits the ball with tremendous power. I didn't see that. He kept that pretty well hidden over the entire course of the year. Dave Dombrowski basically backing his own guy is what I got out of that.
And by the way, he was a steal in the draft. He was a terrific player, Detroit, Cincinnati, not so much here this year. A new baby came into their life. I mean,
okay.
You know, I mean, you get a week or two when that happens to kind of. He's not the first new father in the history of America.
Good point. In Major League Baseball either. Yeah, that's right. The age where all the players are having their first
babies.
Ever
that's
child.
What they do. Now, yeah. I will say, I will kind of give a little bit of latitude, leeway, in that it was his first year with a new team. Oh, actually, Kyle has another thought on this.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's the other reason?
I think the real reason is, and Dombrowski made every excuse but stopped short of this one, he moved into Ben Simmons' house before the season
started. Oh.
Bad juju there.
Doomed for failure.
Yeah, there's bad karma in that house. We've seen guys come into new, big-time free agents come into cities and have a tough time. Francisco Lindor with the Mets in 21 had a really rough time. This year he was top 10 in MVP voting. It happens. And maybe that's what we have with him, but it was a pretty alarming season. Speaking of free agents, Jody, I want to get you on the record. We believe the Phillies, will sign one of the four big-name free agent shortstops. You agree?
I'd put it at about 80% probability.
Fine.
It's not 100,
yeah.
But it's a solid 80% they're going to get one of the big-name shortstops.
All right. So, in order, Jody, give me your preference of Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa, Dansby Swanson.
Turner, Bogaerts, Swanson, Correa, just because I think it's going to be outrageously priced and he's going to want an opt-out just like he did this past year. And he's a Boris client, so you're not going to be able to just plug him in. He's the best fielder out of all of them. Correa is the best defensive shortstop. I'm
pretty good
him in
because
the order.
Swanson's pretty great too, but I agree
right.
with you.
I'm putting them in the order that I would, if I were the general manager, preference my pursuit thereof. Correa would be last just because I think I know the price and I know his agent. So even though he might be more talented, I'm not saying he's the fourth most talented player.
Yeah, you're
but
saying
he's the fourth most desirable for me.
I got you. I think I'd go Turner, Correa, and I'm not factoring that as much as you, so I'm ignoring it, but I hear you. Turner, Correa, Bogaerts, Swanson. And I do think they'll get one of them, and I think it's likely to be Turner or Bogaerts. And that's a great signing. Either one is going to be a great signing. You put Bryson Stott at second base for the next decade. You got your shortstop. The only concern I have with this team is that their defense at first base, right field, left field is going to be pretty atrocious. And when Harper comes back, has the DH, you know, though you still have those three guys in the field, which is a problem. But
two things, yeah. Mac. Number one, on the shortstops, We just played the clip from Dombrowski, who did a pretty good job of defending a less than stellar year Castellanos had. So he has his guys. He likes to protect his guys. Bogaerts is one of his guys. He had Bogaerts in Boston. So yeah. I would tell you that that helps the possibility of Bogaerts being the guy that the Phillies actually land. All right, and my question to you is, those three positions you just touched on, if I told you that one of them's got to be the DH, and I know it's not going to be every single day, you can rotate him, you can move guys in and out, which one do you want to get off the field worst? Schwarber in left, Castellanos right, or Hoskins at first base?
Despite the incredible highlight catches in the postseason, I would say Castellanos is the biggest butcher of the three.
Yeah,
so now, you could argue the first base is a more important position.
That's exactly where I'm going.
Yeah, and I get that. And the errors he made were not good, but I think he's less of a defensive liability than the other guys.
No, I think he's number one, and I think there's a pretty good gap between them. They're all bad. They're all below average. Some of them well below average, but the biggest problem is there's still one corner butcher open.
Yeah, which was an absolute brilliant nickname that Ray gave them that will live for a long time. Let's get Sean in Limerick. You're on with Jody and Glenn.
Hey, guys. I want to talk to Phillies too, so kind of perfect timing. So if we are lucky enough to get Turner, do we put him in the one hole and move Schwarber to two and maybe keep Hoskins, he goes to like five or six?
I would probably move Schwarber down. Getting him middle of the lineup, hopefully guys on base, the home runs pay more dividends than leading off. I was a defender of Schwarber as a leadoff guy. He's not the perfect leadoff guy, but he was the best option that the Phillies had of the guys they had on the team. When you have Trey Turner, you have better options. You just put him in at number one and go on from there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Schwarber towards the end of the season really got hot, and I don't know what his on-base percentage was, but he worked a lot of long counts, and I should throw another name out there. Probably if they don't get a shortstop, any chance they could get like DeGrom or go after him for a couple of years?
Well, I think they're going to sign a pitcher too, and I'll actually go over those names in a moment. I would doubt DeGrom. But I think there are some other guys who would really help them. Who is your short-term hero, Sean?
So this guy was critically important to us winning a Super Bowl, and I got to say, I think like on the field and off the field, he was one of the key leaders that helped us bring a championship to the Super Bowl to Philly. And then he was an all-time with the parade, what he wore to the parade. How about Chris Long?
Oh, that's a great one.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
He was such a leader on the field, off the field. He had some big plays.
Yeah.
And then I still remember what he wore for the parade. I mean, it was classic. He had the fur coat. He had the Iverson jersey throwback.
Yeah.
You could argue we'd still win it, but I think he was critically important.
Yeah, I actually thought you were going a different guy on that Super Bowl team, but that's a great one. I think, well, it's Kyle's to judge, but I think
that rivals mine.
That's pretty good.
The closest one so far.
Yeah. All right, Jody, he brought up Jacob DeGrom, who is 34 years old and one of the best pitchers in baseball, but so often hurt. Only played 11 games last year, so durability is a question with him. I'm going to run down the other top free agent starters, kind of get your one or two that you would prefer as we did with shortstop. So Verlander is out there. He just won another Cy Young Award. He's 39, but he's great. Will be very expensive. Carlos Rodon is a name that comes up a lot, coming off a year with the Giants, very good year, 30 years old, opted out. Signed a very smart contract last year that allowed him to opt out. Chris Bassett pitched for the Mets last year, had a 3.45 ERA. Nate Eovaldi of the Red Sox, Andrew Heaney, former Dodger, Jose Quintana, pitched for the Cardinals last year, and, of course, old friend Zach Eflin. What's your top one or two on that list?
See, here's the problem. You put them in a good order because you probably put them in the order of how I think they will pitch in this upcoming year.
Yeah, I kind of put them in order of talent, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Except, I'm kind of a bigger Eflin fan than maybe others are. I know he did a nice job in the bullpen. What do you want to use him as next year? I think he's going to have interest around the league. I think he'd want to come back here to Philadelphia, but I think he'd want assurances that he's going to be in the rotation if he can stay healthy, which is always a question with Zach Eflin.
Yes.
But I would go there again. I would not mind seeing Eflin come back and join them. I like Bassett. I need to know Bassett's number. Here's the big problem. The Phillies cleared about 60-some-odd million dollars worth of payroll, accounting for increases for guys in arbitration like Alvarado and Hoskins and the like. With what comes off the payroll and what's added to it, they got holes and they got to fill them, but they got about $60 million to play with. How big a chunk is the shortstop taking?
You 35 to 40.
Yeah, so that 60 becomes 20 real fast.
Unless they, unless Middleton says, hey, spend, baby. A lot of cigars.
And it was a phenomenal year, and I think he will get more aggressive, not less aggressive, but not into the Steve Cohen range of spending. So without knowing what their biggest offseason acquisition is going to be, it's kind of tough to say what their and oh, by the way, that's why I only put the shortstops at 80%. Because if they decide Verlander's the answer and they pay him 35, well, then that might take them out of the shortstop bidding.
Yeah, my thought on this is, and I don't think Verlander, DeGrom, my thought on this is I think Rangers, I'm looking for a middle rotation guy, right? So I got Wheeler, I got Nola. I think Ranger can be a 3 or a 4. So on that list, I'll take a shot at Rodon. It might be too much. Maybe take a shot at Bassett. Maybe too much. But I wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me if they got Jose Quintana, left-hander. That's okay by me.
See, I've never liked Quintana. And I know he pitched well last year, and he pitched very well against the Phillies in the first game of the playoffs this year. I've never liked him. He's just a junk baller.
Junk baller for you?
Yeah, a little too much. And you got Ranger, who's not a hard-throwing lefty, and if you, you have to separate those two guys in a rotation.
All right,
let me give you one more number if we talk about Phillies pitching.
Yeah.
Write this number down, Mac. Right. 120.
120. That is innings I'm going to get out of rookie starters.
No, one particular, you're so close to it, it's scary, but you're just framing it slightly off. The number, the maximum number of innings that Andrew Painter is going to pitch next year.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Not on the big league level. So it's not rookie for the Phillies. He will be capped at 120 because I've got a whole bunch of calls and tweets. Oh, and Painter and Painter and Painter and Painter. No. Painter's going to start the year in double A. He'll pitch, he'll rest, he'll pitch, he'll rest. He'll get elevated to triple A. He'll pitch, he'll rest, he'll be sat down, he'll pitch. Yeah. And if everything goes according to Hoyle and everything is great, he's got a chance to join the Phillies at some point next year. But the maximum number of pitches, innings he's going to throw is 120 next year. So if you're penciling him in as a major contributor for the Phillies in the rotation next year, not happening.
No, Painter, Abel, who's the other kid? Griff McGarry. Right.
He's got a better chance to pitch more innings on the big league
probably
level
more ready,
than Painter does. Yes.
Yeah, but I'm optimistic about that. All right, we're way late for break. We got to take a break. We'll get your calls coming up in the next segment. I promise we look forward to talking to you. Jody and I start talking baseball. Things happen. 215-592-9494. Hey, United Tires Black Friday super pricing has arrived. Get some of their best tires at the very best prices. They are now offering up to $120 off select sets of BF Goodrich and Michelin tires. That's now through Cyber Monday. Call or go to unitedtire.com for sale details, or just stop by your local United Tire store today. The weather doesn't get much better from here, so if you're needing tires, now is the time to take advantage of great savings at United Tire. Don't drop.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, what we're watching is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. Oh, I love that music. With no money down. Up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit them at GUIDA.com.
Are we going into the Actors Playhouse? What's that interview show?
Yeah, Lipton. James Lipton.
Yeah, James Lipton. You do a good James Lipton there.
Thank you, my friend. So that was the theme music that I spoke over. Should have probably given that a little time to breathe. I should have. But nonetheless, to a show, Yellowstone, which for years has been one of my favorites. It is a great Western starring Kevin Costner as the owner of the Yellowstone Ranch, which is the largest parcel of private land in the country. There's a lot of intrigue in that show as they fight off land developers and poachers and other enemies and casinos, and he tries to keep the 100-plus-year-old ranch going. Great ensemble cast. Season 5 just started, so this is going to be fun because I just started Season 5. I talked to Jody earlier in the week, mentioned the show. Jody, you'd never seen an episode, right?
Not one.
So you started Season 1.
Yes.
I'm delighted that you did. At least I hope I'm about to be delighted. Before I review Season 5, give me your thoughts so far.
Here's the backstory. Number one, not a Western fan. Never have been. Going back to when I was a kid, you and I are of similar age. You're a couple years older than me, but we're close. Bonanza, never did it for me. Any of the other Westerns,
Gunsmoke.
Chuck Connors. Yeah, nada, zip, zero, zilch. Never a Western guy. I didn't play Cowboys and Indians as a kid. I played basketball and baseball. When I went out, my friends playing in the dirt, we didn't play Cowboys and Indians. Just, it never rang for me. Some people did, some people didn't. It never did for me. So that's not the kind of show, despite the fact that I'm a Costner fan, that I would go, oh, shoot, I got to watch that. So I never have. So you and I were texting, and you said, oh, Yellowstone. I said, you know, I never watched it. You said, you can watch it. It's on Paramount. And I'm going, I don't have Paramount. And you go, yeah, you do. It's on your basic cable. I thought Paramount was Paramount Plus, which is a streaming service.
Yeah, easy to confuse.
And I didn't even know it was available to me for all these years. Not that I would have watched it anyway, because it's a Western, and I'm not a Western guy. But I said, all right, if Mac wants me to watch it, let me go watch it. So I put it up on demand and watched the first two episodes. I'm sure that it has gone 22 different places past the first two episodes. But the first two episodes were very good. And the characters are great.
Yes.
Costner is great in the role that he's in. And I don't think of him as a Western guy. I've seen enough of Kevin Costner in the many different roles that he's played. Much more a minor league baseball player than a land baron in Montana riding a horse. So he's out of character of what I think of as a Kevin Costner kind of character. He's really good at it. And his daughter is phenomenal.
Oh, well, just wait.
Really? It gets better than the first couple episodes? I can't wait to see what she does next, and I've only watched 2-plus episodes.
Yeah. I'm delighted that you like it. I really am, and I will tell you, it has been one of my favorite shows over the years. Our mutual friend Darren DeGaetano is the guy who originally turned me on to it.
Really?
And, yeah, producer.
Dutch.
Way back in the day. That said, Season 5 of Yellowstone, they had the two premiere episodes, like a 3-hour special this week, and I was so disappointed. The show that used to be so great, and I know you don't like Westerns, but I describe it as Bonanza meets Secession. It's now Dallas meets Gossip Girl,
think
it jumped the shark. It's now, in Season 5, it's like this low-grade melodrama. By the way, it set ratings records, these debuts. It's one of the most popular shows in the country, But I looked on Rotten Tomatoes, and this was really interesting. In previous years on Rotten Tomatoes, 80, 90% of the audience liked it. The first two episodes, 28% of the audience voted thumbs up. It's tired. It should have ended last year. Maybe the future episodes this year will show improvement. Now, that's happened with shows before. Starts slow in a year, it gets better. But, Jody, I'm like looking at my watch a couple times during the show, hoping it's going to be over. I've never done that.
That's a bad sign.
It is. The characters, the story arc's going nowhere. The characters are saying the same old things. The first 2 hours were like soap opera cartoons. Taylor Sheridan, who's the guy who designed the show, who's done some other great shows, he's got this new one with Stallone called Tulsa King. And he's got another one, 1888 or whatever year it is, that he did, which is the roots of this thing. And then he's got another one coming out. And it may just be that he's got so many projects that he's just phoning it in. And they got these tired plot lines. Again, first four seasons, great. Fifth season, disappointing.
Bad start. Okay.
That you started with it, please stick with it because you'll love it.
Right. I got a lot to go through before I even get to season five. And it's so funny you mentioned Rotten Tomatoes, and this just dawned on me. I'd never thought of it this way, but I know you'll appreciate it. I compare Rotten Tomatoes to Pro Football Focus. And
well,
this is what I mean by that. Sometimes I'll look something up on Pro Football Focus and go, damn, they broke that down exactly right. That's the exact same way I see it. And there are other times I'll look up their numbers and go, what the hell are they watching? That's not the way I see it. They couldn't be more wrong. They kind of diverse in the word. And sometimes they go down the exact right path. And other times I say, where are they headed to it? How can that possibly be? And I feel the same way about Rotten Tomatoes. Because it is. It's a lot of personal subjectivity where I go, oh, okay, I see you. I'm right in step with everyone else out there. And other times I go, are we talking about the same thing that they're reviewing here? Because that's not what I just saw. Yeah. It is an accurate comparison between those two outlets.
Listen, this is one of the best shows on TV over the last 10 years. It is one of my 10 favorite shows of this decade. Well, this decade, sure. It's one of my 10 favorite shows of the last 10 years, but so far, the new season's disappointing, but I want updates from you as you continue to watch this.
I will do just that. Now that I know I can get it, because I don't have Paramount Plus, right. But I have Paramount, and it's easy enough. So I immediately sat down, watched an episode, got back, watched another episode, started the third. I'll try and make my way through it as best I can.
Good work. All right. Jack in Santa Barbara has been hanging in. Hey, Jack.
Hey, I'm nervous. I'm listening to the next Ken Burns series on baseball here with the two of you.
Oh, there you go.
You guys are great. I can
Thank
listen
you.
To that forever. Hi, hey, Jody. How you doing, buddy?
Jack, always a pleasure, bud.
Yeah. So I have a sports point, but first of all, I want to make the point from the home base, and that is, Glenn, after your pregame show ended the other night, I switched on the TV, and I said, oh, no, they didn't do this. And they did a piece from the art museum. Did you see that, Glenn?
No, I was at the game.
Okay. So, yeah,
what'd they do?
You were.
What'd they do? The steps? What'd they do?
They did the interior steps with Robert Griffin III interviewing Michael Vick.
Oh, I didn't see that feature, but you sound like it wasn't good. I thought it was.
No,
I had heard very good things about it.
But it was great. But, yeah. But to me, it jinxed the game.
Oh.
It was like because they went rocky with the perfect game. Jody knows as a baseball guy, when a pitcher's pitching a perfect game, you don't ever bother him.
How does Rocky jinx it?
They put the kid up on the steps at the end of the piece. So they're only halfway into the season, and everybody's talking about we got to go undefeated. And I'm like, no, don't do this. So I want to talk about them getting out coached in the game, and then I have a what we're watching, and I have a hero. So
all right, let's do it quick because we got to hit a break.
Yeah, so I thought they got severely outcoached in that game. Like Gannon, he's real easy to read on defense. What we're watching, you guys need to watch The Vatican Girl. It's on Netflix. And
okay,
you'll both love it.
All right.
And then the hero is Corey Clement.
Corey Clement, pretty good. And thank you, Jack. He hung around for more than a year, so he may have exceeded the term limits for this one. But I'll always think of Corey Clement fondly, and a local guy, too. 215-592-9494. We come back, we're going to check in with our Cooper Doc, because a couple of key injuries that we need to discuss this week, and we will be happy to keep talking to you. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now.
Hurts takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He swings it out on the far side of the field, and running hard up to the 35 has got it. And Washington running with the football. Are they saying it's a fumble? They're running it into the end zone, and the officials are calling it a fumble.
It's a touchdown.
I've got to see this again.
It's a Washington touchdown, and more importantly, Dallas Goedert is down on the field, and I think he's really hurt.
He's really hurt, and he was hurt on a very apparent penalty, face mask penalty, that the referees missed. And sustained a pretty severe left shoulder injury. We're going to talk about that. Well, we have, unfortunately, we have too much to discuss with our Cooper Bone and Joint guest, Dr. David Geltz, today. Doc, nice to talk to you as always.
Good to see you. Thanks for the recommendation about the Someone Feed Phil, actually.
Oh, good.
About the other week. It's very good. The Philly episode is really, really good.
It's really fun. It makes you want to go out and enjoy all those Philly treasures. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Good.
Just can't watch it hungry, that's all.
No, you have to watch it after you eat. Absolutely correct. So, Doc, two injuries we want to get to today. One new, which is the Dallas Goedert one. You just heard the plan, which had happened. He seemed to suffer, I'm going to read here, a posterior shoulder subluxation with a possible avulsion fracture when he, you know, was hit by two defenders. His arm landed at an awkward angle. So he may have an avulsion fracture. They haven't given details. If he does, what does that mean, and how long would he potentially be out?
Well, when you see an avulsion fracture, and that's a break, so a little piece of the bone can come off. It depends on where it is, and if it came off a little piece of cartilage too, which can complicate things too. When it says subluxation, it means sort of the shoulder popped in and out, where it didn't dislocate, or someone had to put it back into place, but sort of popped backwards. That's why when it bangs together, it can sometimes irritate the bone and then cause a little fracture there too. If it is a fracture, you have to let that heal, obviously. So you're looking at, that's 4 to 6 weeks. If there's some other issues, or you have to think about any other soft tissue injury like the cartilage, then you sometimes think about surgery too, which is not a good thing.
All right, so we're hoping to get him back before the end of the season for a playoff run. Listeners' edification, through 10 weeks, Goedert was second in the league in receiving yards among tight ends, first in yards per reception, first in yards after catch, third in yards per route. One of the best blocking tight ends in the league. Will be a big loss. Hopefully will be back this year. So the other one we want to ask you about, Doc, is Bryce Harper. And Dave Dombrowski announced earlier this week that he's going to undergo surgery on the damaged ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow this coming Wednesday. But I'm sure you saw this. They don't know until they open him up what he's going to need, if he's going to need a full Tommy John or something less than that. Give us your thoughts on what potentially they're looking at and what that means.
Yeah, so when you see UCL injury, especially with pitchers and throwers, that's a bad thing. The good thing, he's not a pitcher, so obviously he throws from the outfield, but with batting, it won't affect him as much. If they do have to do a whole reconstruction at the Tommy John, if he's a pitcher, he's out over a year, year and a half. If he's, with him being that he'd do a DH, he can actually come back sooner. I think Shohei Ohtani had it done, and he had it done in October, and then was back in May that same year. So there's a chance he can come back. He may miss like a month or two of the beginning of the season if he has the reconstruction. If it looks like it's just a partial tear and they can sort of clean it up, or you know, they don't need a whole reconstruction, obviously it's less time. The biggest thing is his throwing. He's not going to be able to do that. So it'll probably be a DH for the rest of the year if they actually have to do all the whole reconstruction.
Jody, more DHs.
Yeah.
We don't need Bryce. It's a DH. Right.
Let's see. Let's hope.
I'm sorry, Doc. Say it again.
I said, we'll see. Let's hope that it's
nothing. Oh, we'll see. Let's hope. Yes, yeah. We'll see. Let's hope. That's official medical opinion is often, yeah. We'll see. Let's hope. Yeah, in both of these cases, with both Goddard and Bryce Harper. Doc, I know you're a listener to the show, and we always appreciate it. Do you have a short-term hero in Philadelphia sports history?
Short-term hero. Actually, I wasn't listening. I'd have to think about that, so I don't have something off the top of my head. And I guess you could say Nick Foles, he was a short-term hero, right?
He is. A little longer than the short-term we were looking at,
yeah.
But nonetheless, you did come. You always come with stuff to bear. Dr. David Gelt, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
I will talk to you. Jody, you and I didn't really talk about Dallas Goedert earlier in the show. It's a huge loss.
Gigantic. It's so funny because usually you replace a tight end with someone that you think. They're trying so hard to find a guy to step in and give them what Jordan Davis gives them, and they have not been able to do that just yet, and we'll see about the new older additions this week. Don't even bother. There just isn't a tight end here available. I got a couple of tweets. Oh, how about Gronk? Let's get Gronk off the retired list. Okay. There isn't a replacement for Dallas Goedert, so you have to mix and match and do different things. You know, my one knock against the defensive coordinator is he's stubborn and he's got his way of doing things and doesn't want to move off his general philosophies. Oh, they have to do that with Goedert because there's nobody you're plugging in who's going to give you what Goedert gives you.
Hey, I saw John Spagnuolo at the Otho Davis dinner earlier this week.
He's still available. I know you do commercials with Brent Celek. I'm sure that he would.
Yeah.
He'd be ready to step back in and give it a shot.
You know what? I would have faith that he could do that. James in Harrisburg joins us. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Great.
So, a couple of things. Number one, I think that everybody is overreacting a little bit on the problems that we have on defense. We lost that game not just because the defense gave up yardage, but we had four turnovers, bad officiating. I like the signings, but these signings are not going to be a panacea. As long as the offense gets itself back on track, the yards we give up on defense in the run game are not going to come back to bite us. It only bites us if the games are close because we're turning over the ball and we're not executing on offense. As far as my short-term Eagles player, I got to go way back, and I got to go with Adam Joshua Feely, who was called in when the Eagles had an 8-3 record. McNabb went down. Coy Detmer went down on a Monday night game in San Francisco, and A.J. Feely came in and won four of the last five games to get us the number one seed in the playoffs that year, and he ended up getting us a second-round draft pick when we traded him to the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my guy.
All right.
Not bad, Mac. And I remember AJ's success on the field. I thought at the time, truthfully, that it was kind of a misnomer, a misleader. But damn if the Eagles didn't turn it into a second-round pick. I was actually more impressed with what they got in exchange for him than what AJ actually did on the field
true.
For them.
That is true. Hey, quarterback factory, even then.
Yeah.
Stinkin' Justin here. He wants to talk Sixers. Let's get a little Sixers talk here. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Glenn. What's going on? Hey, Jody. How you doing today, guys?
Doing
good,
great.
Guy.
Good, good. Well, yeah, I want to talk Sixers. Maybe touch on the Eagles real quick and give you an answer. I mean, the Sixers... It was nice to see that, like, because I watched the game from start to finish. And, you know, Maxey was hot in the beginning, and it was a good game. And, I mean, we were down in the beginning, and it was a little scary there at first. But it was nice to see when Maxey got hurt that all these young guys stepped up. And it was just a little bit of, I don't know, for me, I'm a big Sixers. I'm an all Philadelphia fan. I'm a big Sixers fan. It was nice to see they encourage, like, a little bit of encouragement, you know, to know that.
Yeah.
You know, someone like Maxey go down, and that we actually have people off the bench that are actually playing, like George Niang, who I usually
Hold on. Let me stop you here before you go too long, because I defer to my pal Jody Mack in terms of basketball. Jody, should we believe in that bench there?
He's right about Niang. He has been.
Yeah. Okay. I fear we lost Jody again. We're having a tough time. Give us your short term hero there, Justin.
No, that's fine. Well, real quick on the Eagles.
Yeah.
I just totally, you know, I don't think Jalen had anything to do with that loss. And I've, even though Dallas, like you guys said, is a huge, huge loss to us, I just think that Jalen has elevated his play so much that he's got so many tricks in his hat right now that I think that he will be able to, you know, obviously with coaching and plays, to make other things happen. And I still think that we should be perfectly okay without Dallas. I mean, obviously, it's a big miss.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's a big loss. What helps them is that they have A.J. Brown. You know, so now, if you don't have a tight end who's a particularly good receiver, and they'll work in with the backup tight ends, but if you don't have a tight end who's a good receiver, you go with your receiving core. And they got A.J. Brown, they got Devontae Smith, Quez. I know he had the fumble, but I think they'll probably try to use Quez a little bit more. Pascal will play a little bit more. They're deep at weapons. One thing they haven't done this year that maybe now they'll do without the receiving tight end is they'll put the running backs in the passing game. I should look at the stats, but they sure have not used Sanders, Gainwell, any of those guys, Boston Scott, much in the passing game. And to me, maybe that's something that by necessity they have to start to do. So that kind of makes sense to me. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 with Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Macnow on 94 WIP. And when you bring up banking, most business people roll their eyes. Well, I can tell you that Meridian Bank customers don't feel that way. Now, sure, Meridian business bankers, they do the loan thing, and they offer great guidance on making your business more successful. But beyond that, Meridian also puts on great customer events, both educational and social, and they're a super group of people to be around. That is important. If you want to put some fun in your business banking, get started at meridianbanker.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurts takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He swings it out on the far side of the field. And running hard up to the 35 has got it. And Washington running with the football. Are they saying it's a fumble? They're running it into the end zone, and the officials are calling it a fumble.
It's a touchdown.
I've got to see this again.
It's a Washington touchdown, and more importantly, Dallas Goedert is down on the field, and I think he's really hurt.
He's really hurt, and he was hurt on a very apparent penalty, face mask penalty, that the referees missed. And sustained a pretty severe left shoulder injury. We're going to talk about that. Well, we have, unfortunately, we have too much to discuss with our Cooper Bone and Joint guest, Dr. David Geltz, today. Doc, nice to talk to you as always.
Good to see you. Thanks for the recommendation about the Someone Feed Phil, actually.
Oh, good.
About the other week. It's very good. The Philly episode is really, really good.
It's really fun. It makes you want to go out and enjoy all those Philly treasures. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Good.
Just can't watch it hungry, that's all.
No, you have to watch it after you eat. Absolutely correct. So, Doc, two injuries we want to get to today. One new, which is the Dallas Goedert one. You just heard the plan, which had happened. He seemed to suffer, I'm going to read here, a posterior shoulder subluxation with a possible avulsion fracture, when he, you know, was hit with by two defenders. His arm landed at an awkward angle. So he may have an avulsion fracture. They haven't given details. If he does, what does that mean, and how long would he potentially be out?
Well, when you see an avulsion fracture, and that's a break, so a little piece of the bone can come off. It depends on where it is, and if it came off a little piece of cartilage, too, which can complicate things, too. When it says subluxation, it means sort of the shoulder popped in and out, where it didn't dislocate, or someone had to put it back into place, but sort of popped backwards. That's why when it bangs together, it can sometimes irritate the bone and then cause a little fracture there, too. If it is a fracture, you know, you have to let that heal, obviously. So you're looking at, you know, last 4 to 6 weeks, if there's some other issues, or you have to think about any other soft tissue injury like the cartilage, and you're sometimes thinking about surgery too, which is not a good thing.
All right. So we're hoping to get him back before the end of the season for a playoff run. For callers or listeners' edification, through 10 weeks, Goddard was second in the league in receiving yards among tight ends, first in yards per reception, first in yards after catch, third in yards per route. One of the best blocking tight ends in the league, will be a big loss. Hopefully will be back this year. So the other one we want to ask you about, Doc, is Bryce Harper. And Dave Dombrowski announced earlier this week that he's going to undergo surgery on the damaged ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow this coming Wednesday. But I'm sure you saw this. They don't know until they open him up what he's going to need, if he's going to need a full Tommy John or something less than that. Give us your thoughts on what potentially they're looking at and what that means.
Yeah, so when you see UCL injury, you know, especially with pitchers and throwers, that's a bad thing. The good thing, he's not a pitcher, so obviously he throws from the outfield, but with batting, it won't affect him as much. If they do have to do a whole reconstruction at the Tommy John, you know, if there's a pitcher, he's out over a year, year and a half. If he's, you know, with him being that we do a DH, he can actually come back sooner. I think Shohei Ohtani had it done, and he had it done in April, in October, and then was back in May that same year. So there's a chance he can come back. He may miss like a month or two of the beginning of the season if he has the reconstruction. If it looks like it's just a partial tear and they can sort of clean it up, or they don't need a whole reconstruction, obviously it's less time. The biggest thing is his throwing. He's not going to be able to do that. So it'll probably be a DH for the rest of the year if they actually have to do all the whole reconstruction.
Jody, more DHs.
Yeah.
We don't need Bryce. It's a DH. Right.
But let's see. Let's hope.
I'm sorry, Doc. Say it again.
I said, we'll see. Let's hope that it's nothing.
Oh, we'll see. Let's hope. Yes, yeah. We'll see. Let's hope. That's official medical opinion is often, yeah. We'll see. Let's hope. Yeah, in both of these cases, with both Goddard and Bryce Harper. Doc, I know you're a listener to the show, and we always appreciate it. Do you have a short-term hero in Philadelphia sports history?
Short-term hero. Actually, I wasn't listening. I'd have to think about that, so I don't have something off the top of my head. And I guess you could say Nick Foles, he was a short-term hero, right?
He is. A little longer than the short-term we were looking at, but nonetheless, you did come. You always come with stuff to bear. Dr. David Gelt, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
I will talk to you. Jody, you and I didn't really talk about Dallas Goedert earlier in the show. It's a huge loss.
Gigantic. It's so funny because usually you replace a tight end with someone that you think. They're trying so hard to find a guy to step in and give them what Jordan Davis gives them, and they have not been able to do that just yet, and we'll see about the new older additions this week. Don't even bother. There just isn't a tight end here available. I got a couple of tweets. Oh, how about Gronk? Let's get Gronk off the retired list. Okay. There isn't a replacement for Dallas Goedert, so you have to mix and match and do different things. You know, my one knock against the defensive coordinator is he's stubborn and he's got his way of doing things and doesn't want to move off his general philosophies. Oh, they have to do that with Goedert because there's nobody you're plugging in who's going to give you what Goedert gives you.
Hey, I saw John Spagnuolo at the Otho Davis dinner earlier this week.
He's still available. I know you do commercials with Brent Celek. I'm sure that he'd be ready to step back in and give it a shot.
Hey, You know what? I would have faith that he could do that. James in Harrisburg joins us. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Great.
So a couple of things. Number one, I think that everybody is overreacting a little bit on the problems that we have on defense. We lost that game not just because the defense gave up yardage, but we had four turnovers, bad officiating. I like the signings, but these signings are not going to be a panacea. As long as the offense gets itself back on track, the yards we give up on defense in the run game are not going to come back to bite us. It only bites us if the games are close because we're turning over the ball and we're not executing on offense. As far as my my short-term Eagles player, I got to go way back, and I got to go with Adam Joshua Feely, who was called in when the Eagles had an 8-3 record. McNabb went down. Coy Detmer went down on a Monday night game in San Francisco, and A.J. Feely came in and won four of the last five games to get us the number one seed in the playoffs that year, and he ended up getting us a second-round draft pick when we traded him to the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So that's my guy.
All right.
Not bad, Mac. And I remember AJ's success on the field. I thought at the time, truthfully, that it was kind of a misnomer, a misleader. But damn, if the Eagles didn't turn it into a second-round pick. I was actually more impressed with what they got in exchange for him than what AJ actually did on the field
true.
For them.
That is true. Hey, quarterback factory, even then.
Yeah.
Stinkin' Justin here. He wants to talk Sixers. Let's get a little Sixers talk here. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Glenn, what's going on? Hey, Jody, how you doing today, guys?
Doing
good,
great.
Guy.
Good. Well, yeah, I want to talk Sixers. Maybe touch on the Eagles real quick and give you an answer. I mean, the Sixers, it was nice to see that, like, because I watched the game from start to finish. And, you know, Maxey was hot in the beginning, and it was a good game. And, I mean, we were down in the beginning, and it was a little scary there at first, but it was nice to see when Maxey got hurt that all these young guys stepped up, and it was just a little bit, I don't know, for me, I'm a big Sixers. I'm all Philadelphia fan. I'm a big Sixers fan. It was nice to see the like a little bit of encouragement, you know, to know that, you know, someone like Maxey go down and that we actually have people off the bench that are actually playing, like George Niang, who I usually
Well, hold on. Let me stop you here before you go too long, because I defer to my pal Jody Mack in terms of basketball. Jody, should we believe in that bench there?
He's right about Niang. He has been.
Yeah. Okay. I fear we lost Jody again. We're having a tough time. Give us your short term hero there, Justin.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, real quick on the Eagles.
Yeah.
I just totally, you know, I don't think Jalen had anything to do with that loss. And I've, even though Dallas, like you guys said, is a huge, huge loss to us, I just think that Jalen has elevated his play so much that he's got so many tricks in his hat right now that I think that he will be able to, you know, obviously with coaching and plays, to make other things happen, and I still think that we should be perfectly okay without Dallas. I mean, obviously, it's a big miss.
Yeah, no,
but
I hear you. It's a big loss. What helps them is that they, I mean, they have A.J. Brown. You know, so now, if you don't have a tight end who's a particularly good receiver, and they'll work in with the backup tight ends, but if you don't have a tight end who's a good receiver, you go with your receiving core, and they got A.J. Brown, they got Devontae Smith, Quez. I know he had the fumble, but I think they'll probably try to use Quez a little bit more. Pascal will play a little bit more. They're deep at weapons. One thing they haven't done this year that maybe now they'll do without the receiving tight end is they'll put the running backs in the passing game. I should look at the stats, but they sure have not used Sanders, Gainwell, any of those guys, Boston Scott, much in the passing game. And to me, maybe that's something that by necessity they have to start to do. So that kind of makes sense to me. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 with Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Macnow on 94 WIP. And when you bring up banking, most business people roll their eyes. Well, I can tell you that Meridian Bank customers don't feel that way. Sure, Meridian Business Bankers, they do the loan thing, and they offer great guidance on making your business more successful. But beyond that, Meridian also puts on great customer events, both educational and social, and they're a super group of people to be around. That is important. If you want to put some fun in your business banking, get started at meridianbanker.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.